Hello. There are days in our lives that we just never forget. Do you remember the day that your first child was born? Or maybe do you remember the day that you graduated from school? What about when you had a spiritual experience? Surely you remember that. What about when you first fell in love? You know, you felt the butterflies in your stomach, your knees were a little weak. Do you remember that day? What about where you were when the Challenger exploded or when President Kennedy was shot? What about September 11th? Do you remember where you were that day? The events of 9-1-1, well, they're things that will never be forgotten. Two planes jackknifed into the World Trade Centers. One plane went flying into the Pentagon. And one plane aimed at the White House went down in an area near Pennsylvania. You remember where you were that day, don't you? I was in a drive-thru at a bank. I was listening to the radio and I heard the tragic news that America had been attacked. Maybe you were at home, or maybe you were at school, or maybe you were at work. You remember the pictures on TV? The radio commentary, the newspaper articles? You see, the events of 9-1-1 changed America. They catapulted our nation into a war. And they turned many people's hearts towards the church, towards religion, towards synagogues, and even mosques. In the matter of minutes, millions of people across America, in fact, across the world, recognized the void of spiritual fulfillment in their lives. Now, to minister to this need, there were worship services, community worship services held all over the place. There was even a special memorial service held in New York, New York City, Yankee Stadium. It was held on September the 23rd. And on that day, many different faiths, various faiths, came together in the name of the Lord to bring hope to the morning. Religious leaders from Catholicism to Buddhism to the Sikh faith to all these different types of religions came together to console and comfort the hurting. And for many, this memorial service was a good thing. Again, there were many held like it all over the world. You see, it was just proving that each religion can work together. And each separate religion does indeed worship the same God. You see, that day, in New York City, when they had their memorial service in Yankee Stadium, Lee Greenwood sung his favorite song, God Bless the USA, and behind him were leaders from various faiths, and they were all in their religious garb, and they had on their robes, and they were waving American flags. It was a great time for the faiths of America to hold hands together and rejoice. Yet such an event has to raise some important questions. Do all faiths worship the same God? Surely you've thought about that. You know, you've not been able to sleep at night, and you're just wondering, you know, do all roads lead to Rome? Do all the religions lead to God? Does it really matter what I believe spiritually? You see, there were people there that day that were dressed liturgically in their robes of glamour, to people just in suits, and they were all calling upon God. Each of the religious leaders that day at Yankee Stadium called upon God. Yankee Stadium was filled with thousands of people worshiping the Lord and looking to God for hope, for peace. Now, this event might seem harmless, a good assembly, you might say. But how? How can all these different people from all these different faiths be worshiping the same God? And if God is so good, if God is so worthy of worship, I just want to know, where was God on September 11th? You know, it's the day when the speeding airplanes hit the World Trade Center. And over 3,000 people that day lost their lives. Where was God when these madmen killed thousands? Now, the answer we're going to give might shock you a little bit, because the answer is God was not there. God was not to be found. God was not on the throne. He was not on the telephone. He was not all alone. God was absent. God, in fact, is the name of a Babylonian deity. Did you know that? God, in the Hebrew language, is reminiscent of the Babylonian deity of good luck and fortune. You can research this yourself. You can look to Genesis 30, verse 11, or look in your Strong's Concordance, or look up in a dictionary the origin of the word G-O-D, God. Now, the Oxford Etymological Dictionary of the English language, it teaches that God comes to the English language from the ancient Sanskrit language, and it means this, to invoke by incantation, that the word God itself means a deity of sorcery, to bring about by magic or good luck. Friend, God, or good fortune, was not with New York City on September 11th. Yes, the ruler of the universe, the creator of the world, the savior of mankind was there. Don't get me wrong, he was there. But the false idol of good luck, God, was not. Please understand this. The English word God has been falsely used as a substitute for the Father's real name. People have been calling upon God for too long. They've been calling upon this Babylonian deity. You see, I used to be in church and I'd be singing about the name of God and I'd be telling people about the name of God and they need to call upon the name of the Lord and they would be saved and I'd sing, "Blessed is the name of the Lord," and many times I'd wonder, what is his name? I mean, what's his name? Is his name Bill or Bob or Betty? Or I mean, what is this name of God, name of the Lord? I can tell you this, God is not his name. Exodus 23:13 says, "Make no mention of the names of other gods, neither let it be heard on your mouth." God is not his name. It's not his title. It is not a proper substitute. It is not a translation. It is not what he desires to be called. Now just ask any person on the street. Go up to him, ask him, "Who is God?" What do you think they would answer? You'll get a variety of answers, wouldn't you? Most people will say, "Oh, God, he's a supreme being. I worship God. God is good." Others argue that God's name is Allah or Jehovah. Most people, though, view God from the background and teaching of their religious affiliation. Did you hear that? Most people view God from their background. So if you were raised in a Southern Baptist home, you view God from a Southern Baptist perspective. Yet if you were raised in a Muslim home, you view God from a Muslim perspective. God is the source of worship from those who are involved in Wicca to those who are involved in Hinduism. Even some people claim to be God. Did you know that the Bible says that Satan is God? That's right. The Bible, go look it up. Go look up 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says Satan is God. Interesting, huh? The Muslims and the Masons both call the being of worship that they worship God. How can this be? Now, evidently, God is a general term. It's used universally by millions of people to describe the receiver of their devotion. Now, the online encyclopedia of Encarta says this. It defines God as this, and I'm going to quote. Quote, "It's the center and focus of most religious faith. It is a holy being or ultimate reality to whom worship and prayer are addressed." End quote. Notice here that the Encarta Dictionary does not specify one belief system over another. It just says that, oh, most people worship God. I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, you're walking down the road and you sneeze and someone says, "God bless you." Well, do they mean their God or your God? Or does it make a difference? It does, folks. You see, it doesn't make a difference, though, whether or not the G is capitalized. Some people say, "Oh, I worship the big G and they worship the little G." You see, when you speak, there are no capital letters. In fact, in the original language that the Bible was written in the language of Hebrew, there was no G and there was no capital letters. Using this general term of God for the Creator is in a direct violation of Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Now, surely you know what that is, don't you? You saw the movie, The Ten Commandments, you know, Cecil B. DeMille's great work, and sure you know about the Ten Commandments, and one of the commandments is, do not take the name of the Lord or God in vain. Now surely, calling the creator of the universe by a false name is taking his name in vain. Surely it is defaming his character. Now the Encyclopedia Americana says, under the topic God, in quote, that God is a common Teutonic word for personal object of religious worship, applicable to superhuman beings of heathen myth. Now, you can study a little bit more and find out that the Druids called the sun God. They called the sun Gunt, or God, or Got, which is translated into English as God. This is simply not his name. You see, today we think of that Ten Commandment verse that says, "Do not take the name of the Lord in vain," and we just think that it means to say GD, or to curse with his name. But that's not what it means. They didn't have those words back then when Moses came off the mountain and he gave the commandments to the people. They didn't have GD. Sure, they had some profanity, but they didn't have those words. They didn't even have the English language. So that cannot be what it means. To take his name in vain means to use it in vain, to use it in naught, to use it wrongly, or not to use it at all. Speaking of which, if you're not to call the Most High God, what should you call him? Well, why not call him by his real name? As revealed in the Bible, the name of the Almighty Father is Yahweh. Perhaps you've heard that term before, Yahweh. Just read the introduction of most Bibles and you'll find that translators have hidden the name of the Creator in your Bible. Did you know that? You see, his name is hidden behind capital letters. Capital letters. Whenever you find the English word God or Lord in all capital letters, the translators are letting you know that the sacred name of Yahweh is being used. They've actually hidden his name in your English Bible. Now, in Exodus chapter 3, Yahweh says emphatically that this is my name forever for all generations to use. His name was not intended to be hidden by scribes and scholars. His name was given by Yahweh himself to man as a sign of his existence. Yahweh said, "This is my name. Call upon my name. Use it for personal relationship." Which is similar to, you know, you meet someone on a first name basis. You get to know them. Yahweh has given us his name so we can approach him. His name is not Lord. His name is not God. Now, it's very important to note that over 7,000 times throughout the Bible, the name of Yahweh is used. The King James Version even uses the poetic form of his name of Yah, J-A-H, in reference to his name of Yahweh. If you want to look it up, go to Psalm 68:4. That's Psalm 68:4. Now, there are other titles for Yahweh, like Master or Adonai or El Shaddai, but they're just titles. They describe his actions. The English word God in your King James Version Bible is a poor translation of the Hebrew term Elohim, which according to many dictionaries means a mighty one, a judge, or a deity. Now, the New International Version of the Bible says in Isaiah 65:11 and 12, "As for you who forsake Yahweh and forget my holy mountain, who spread a table for fortune and fill bowls of mixed wine for destiny, you did evil in my sight and chose what displeases me." In this verse, the NIV, the King James, all the different translations capitalize the word destiny. And they capitalize the word fortune. The translators are telling you that these are gods. In fact, the capitalized word destiny in that verse, for the people who forsook the worship of Yahweh to worship destiny, that word for destiny is G-O-D, is God. It is clear from this verse that we are not to mix destiny worship or God worship with true worship of Yahweh. And those who worship God instead of Yahweh displease the Creator. It's what the Bible says. But for those of you who forsake Yahweh and forget His holy mountain, who spread a table for fortune and fill bowls of mixed wine for destiny, you did evil in my sight and chose what displeases me, said Yahweh. God, the demon of good fortune, was not with the thousands on September 11th. But Yahweh, Elohim, was. Now, what does this mean to you? Surely all faiths cannot be calling upon the same Almighty. I mean, let's just be honest. Do you really think that the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, and so on and so forth, all worship the same being? Yet they all call him God. something is wrong. It is time to start using His name, to study the Scriptures for yourself, to forsake the general term of God and use His name, Yahweh. The Savior, the Son of Yahweh, came and He said, "I have come in My Father's name," John 5:43. The Father's name is not God, it is Yahweh. In fact, the Scriptures say in Joel chapter 2, verse 32, that anyone who calls upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Now let me ask you, whose name have you been calling upon for salvation? Now the issue here is very simple. His name is Yahweh. His name is not God. The scholars, the scribes, the biblical commentaries, you can look this up on the internet, you can look up the phrase God in your Bible dictionaries, and you'll learn about it. In Proverbs 30, verse 4, it's a very interesting verse. I'd like to read it to you right now. Here's what it says. Who has established the ends of the earth? What is His name? What is His Son's name? Do you know it? Go back and read it. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has built the world? Who is the Creator? What is His name? And what is His Son's name? Now, if the Father's name is not God, and it's not Lord, His name is Yahweh, then what's the Son's name? Now, many people will tell you, oh, the Son of God, that's Jesus. Did you know that the Savior was never called Jesus? When the Messiah walked the face of the earth, He never heard the phrase Jesus. In fact, if the Savior were to walk down Main Street today of your town and you were to call out, Jesus, He would not recognize you. He wouldn't know who you were talking to. Jesus is an English mistranslation of His name. His real name, as given in the Scriptures, is the name of salvation. If you go to Matthew, very simple, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The angel is speaking and says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Yeshua." Yeshua, which means Yahweh is salvation, because He will save His people from their sins. Now your King James Version says, Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. Bad translations. His name is Yeshua, it is not Jesus. Now you might say, well, but that's what I've always called Him. That's what I was told His name is. That's what my Bible says His name is. Yeshua is His real name. It's what He was called. Did you ever see the movie The Passion of the Christ? You know, it's the new Mel Gibson flick. If you listen to that movie, if you watch that movie, you will hear the name Yeshua being used. Yeshua is the Hebrew term for salvation, meaning salvation is of Yahweh. Now let's think about this for a minute. Here comes a guy that's being born of a virgin. He is the King of the Jews, the Savior of the Jews. Surely He would be given a Jewish name, and His name is Yeshua. Not Jesus. Now, the Son has a set-apart name. Again, I said it's not Jesus. Well, you might say, well, I use Jesus. And in Spain, they say Jesus. And they say this, they say there. No. The fact of the matter is, my name is Daniel. And if I go to Spain, it's still Daniel. If I go to France, it's still Daniel. If I go to Alaska, it's still Daniel. My name is Daniel in Australia, in Jamaica, in South Africa, South America. My name stays the same even in Russia. Now, people might say it with an accent, but my name is still Daniel. Yeshua's name is the same. It has not changed. How did we get Jesus? I'd love to tell you. First, realize this. A person's proper name cannot be translated. A person's proper name stays the same. No matter where I go, I am Daniel. Now what happened is, as people began translating the Scriptures into Greek, first they were written in Hebrew, then they were translated into Greek, they began to transliterate some of the names, which means they began to change them to sound similar. What that means is names, Hebrew names like Moshe became Moses. Does that make sense? Hebrew names like Yirmiyahu became Jeremiah. Hebrew names like Noach became Noah. And when they came to Yeshua's name, they changed it to Iesus in Greek, which soon became Jesus in the English language. Now, it's very important to understand that his name is not Jesus. Many biblical scholars will back this up. Ask your preacher, what was he called when he walked the face of the earth? Yahweh has given his son his own name. In Philippians 2:9, Paul says that Yahweh has given Yeshua, his beloved son, the name above every name. Do you remember reading about that? I'm sure you do. Now, you might be surprised to learn this, that Mel Gibson had it right in the movie, calling him Yeshua. That is his name. Iesus comes from Isis and the worship of Zeus. Yeshua is his name. Now, why haven't you heard this before? Why don't you know this before? It's part of the restoration. And the truth is now being proclaimed all over the world. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Repent, turn to Yahweh, so that your sins may be erased, so that the times of refreshing may come from Yahweh's presence, and He may send the Messiah appointed in advance for you, that is, Yeshua. He has to remain in heaven until the time comes for the restoration of all things, as Yahweh said long ago when He spoke through the holy prophets." You see, we are in the times right now with the restoration of all things. We are in the times of a returning to the original way of the faith. Friend, people never called Him by Jesus when He walked the face of this earth. Friend, His name is Yeshua. And we are returning to a worship of Yahweh, Yeshua, the original faith, the way it was intended to be. Again, a proper name cannot be translated. It stays the same. Now think about this for a minute. If it says in Acts chapter 3 that the restoration of all things is occurring, and what's it being restored to? The way it was when the prophets were here and the apostles were here. It gets back to the Son. Remember Matthew 1:21. The angel said, "Call Him Yeshua." You see, the set-apart name of Yahweh's Son has become a victim of many doctrines. You see, many people get upset when they find out that Jesus is not the name of the Messiah. Did you know that Jesus is in fact a variant of the Egyptian deity of Isis, which translated into Greek becomes Iesus, which in English becomes Jesus? This is a terrible, terrible error. His name is Yeshua. Now, most people remember where they were on September 11th, and they'll tell you that they're spiritually alive since that day, but they've had a spiritual awakening. But they want a close, intimate relationship with the Father. Yet if you were to ask Him the Father's name, they'd tell you God. You'd ask Him the Son's name, they'd tell you Jesus. Some people say, "Well, I don't need to know that, or I can call Him anything I want to call Him." No. The Scriptures are very clear. Yeshua is His name. Yahweh is His name. And the Scriptures say, "Do not take the name of Yahweh in vain." In most Bibles, you cannot find the author of the Bible. Isn't that weird? You know, it's funny. A friend once wrote to me that the only book in the world where you cannot find the author's real name in any modern-day language translation is the Bible. His name is Yeshua. And it means salvation is of Yahweh. His name is Yahweh, which, if you want to know more about it, go to Exodus chapter 3. His name is Yahweh, Yeshua. Now, many people just don't want to accept this truth. Yet the truth remains. There is a point that needs to be made. The point is that many people have accepted a false understanding of who the Almighty is. Many people say, oh, it doesn't matter how you worship Him. It doesn't matter what day you worship Him. It doesn't matter when or what you call Him. But that's just not what the Bible says. The Bible emphatically states to call upon His name as Yahweh, to use His name. All throughout the Psalms, His name is used. All throughout the Scriptures, you can read about the name of Yahweh. It's time to get it right. It's time for the restoration of all things. If you were to turn to Exodus chapter 15, you'd read about Yahweh's name. Yet in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Moshe said to Yahweh, look, when I appear before the people of Israel and say to them, the mighty one of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is His name? What shall I tell them? And Yahweh said, here's what you are to say to the people of Israel. You are to say, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh, the mighty one of your fathers, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and how I am to be remembered generation after generation. When you confuse someone's name, you confuse who they are. I mean, just think about it. A name replies more than just a spelling. Think of the name Tom Brokaw. What do you picture? Think of the name Bill Clinton. What do you picture? Think of the name Saddam Hussein. What do you picture? Now think of the name Jesus. What do you picture? Now let's be honest here. When you think of Jesus, most people think of a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy that speaks Latin and, you know, maybe hangs out at the Vatican, that came to do away with the Jewish people. But the Scriptures are very clear of who Yeshua is. There is a big difference between Yeshua, the Messiah, and what most people understand to be as Jesus. There's a big difference between what most people understand as God, as this mean being with a lightning bolt ready to strike people down, and the loving Yahweh that sent forth His only Son, that whosoever would believe upon Him would inherit eternal life. Yahweh did that. When you misunderstand someone's name, you misunderstand their character. You misunderstand who they really are. Some people might think, I'm Danielle. I think it's a girlish name, but it's Daniel. Consider the two. Think about it for a minute. You've heard those terms before. Yahweh is His name. It is time to use it. Yeshua is the name of the Son. It is time to use it. What about the Holy Spirit, you might say? Well, that's very simple. The Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh in the Hebrew tongue. Ruach HaKodesh, the set-apart Spirit. You see, many people have accepted the idea of Jesus, who came to start Christianity and Catholicism, who claims to be the middleman of the Trinity, who came to nail the law to the cross, who came to celebrate Sunday as the Sabbath. Yet that's not true. Read the Scriptures and you'll find out that Yeshua came to keep the seventh day Sabbath. He kept the biblical holy days. Yeshua came to proclaim Yahweh's name. Yeshua came to teach people the truth about the Bible, to live the Bible. And it's time to do as He did. You see, Yeshua called upon the name of Yahweh. And His disciples went about teaching His name of Yahweh, Yeshua. Go ahead, read John chapter 17, verse 6. It says that He sent His people out to reveal the name of Yahweh to the chosen of the world. Yeshua came to restore Yahweh worship. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. He said, you can't get to the Father, Yahweh, except through me, Yeshua, salvation. Though you might call upon God, you might think that you're calling upon the right deity. Yet no man comes to the Father, Yahweh, except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, the scriptures say, that Yeshua said. It's time to come to Him. It's time to call upon His real name and to seek Him in spirit and in truth. I encourage you to visit our website to learn more about the sacred name of Yahweh, Yeshua. It's emetministries.com, EMETMINISTRIES. It's time to acknowledge Yeshua as the Messiah. It's time to call upon His name. He said in Matthew chapter 10 that whoever acknowledges me in the presence of others, whoever acknowledges Yeshua in the presence of others, I will also acknowledge in the presence of my Father Yahweh in heaven. Whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Don't think that I have come to bring peace. It is not peace I have come to bring, but a sword. Does this message cut you a little bit? Does the idea that you've been calling upon the wrong deity upset you? Yeshua said, I've come to bring a sword, to cut away the falsehoods. It's time for the restoration of all things. You know where you were on September 11th. You know where you were when you first fell in love. Now, where you are right now, is when you've experienced the truth of the name of Yahweh. Remember it. Mark it well where you are right now when you're experiencing the truth of the name of Yeshua, that His name is Yeshua. That He did not respond to Jesus 2,000 years ago. That He would respond to Yeshua then and He responds to Yeshua now. Remember where you are. For today, your intimacy with Yahweh is different. For today, you can call upon His name, Yahweh Yeshua, and experience His presence. I encourage you now to go back and read Exodus chapter 3. Go back and read Exodus chapter 31. Learn about the name of Yahweh. To go and remember what the Proverbs say in Proverbs 30 verse 4. And finally, in Hosea chapter 2, it says, it shall be in that day, declares Yahweh, that you shall call me my husband, and no longer call me my Lord. And I shall remove the names of the false gods from her mouth, and you shall no more be remembered by their name. Yahweh is removing the names of the false gods from your mouth, and from the mouths of thousands of others just like you. He's revealing His truth of who He is. This day that we will call Him Yahweh. Let us pray. Father, forgive me for calling upon You in wrong manners. I have broken Your commandment to take the name of the Lord in vain. I have taken Your name in vain by calling You Lord and God. Your name is Yahweh. Forgive me. Father, I have misunderstood Yeshua. I've called Him Jesus. Father, I thought that He came to tell others how to kill the Jews. Father, I thought that Jesus was a person who came to start a new religion, yet I've forgotten that His name is Yeshua. That He even said in John chapter 4 that salvation is of the Jews. Father, I've forgotten the power in Your name. Forgive me. Help me. Through the power of Your Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to call upon Your name, to experience the intimacy, Yahweh. Thank You, Father, for Your truth, for Your power, and Your might. Amen. Again, please visit our website at emetministries.com. Find out more about the sacred name of Yahweh, Yeshua. You'll be glad you did. Your life will change as you begin to use His name and call upon Him. For whoever calls upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved, is what the Word says.